Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Motherkind podcast with me, your host, Zoe Blasky, where each week I chat about all things motherhood and well-being. This week, I've got a real treat for you. I have got Alice Ollins and Fenella Mailfine, who are the co-founders of the Step Up Club and career experts. So the Step Up Club is a modern voice in the women's career conversation. In fact, Stylist magazine, which I love, said that they are the only voice to listen to in the women's career sphere. It's quite hard to say. Alice and Fenella have 5 kids between them, so they really know a thing or two about working motherhood. And together, they've created the Step Up School and the Step Up Club, which includes a book, face-to-face events. They work with brands like Balance Me Skincare and Karen Millen. They do lots of talks at things like Stylist Live, and they also give really good free advice on their weekly newsletter, which I've been signed up to for a while now and really is packed full of really good, simple, actionable tips. So I recommend you sign up for that as well. I was so excited to chat to them because I have been following them for such a while. There was so many things that I wanted to ask them about, and I think the big thing that I really wanted to understand was about how they juggle it all, because they seem to have, you know, from nowhere really just created this hugely impressive brand which is having a massive impact in the world, and yet they have these big family lives as well. So I really wanted to understand how they manage that and if they experience guilt like the rest of us. And we had a great conversation around mum guilt.
I think it's more common to feel guilty than not feel guilty. So I think if you don't, I think that's an amazing thing. It's such a powerful thing. Mm.
We also talked about their stories, so how they got into the Step Up Club, and both individually and respectively coming together as a duo is fascinating. That's how we start the podcast interview. We also talk about confidence and what it means to them and how they help other women access that part of themselves.
The confidence is linked to, obviously, it's just a single act of just not being in the workplace. So you always fear something, the unknown, so you don't know what's going on there, so you feel detached, so it affects your confidence.
We talk about career crossroads, and I think motherhood, you know, I often talk about this, I think motherhood is such a natural time of reevaluation for everything, you know, including career. So we talk about that a lot for women who suddenly find their work not working and what to do then. And we also have a brilliant conversation around validation and this idea of what happens when we stop seeking our validation from outside of us and start seeking it from inside. And when we feel that validation from within, how that then opens up different choices and we start to make different choices, and our outer worlds can often change quite dramatically when we make that inner shift.
So I think the change is taking control of your validation and accepting or being able to have that from the inside out, and for however that works for you as a person.
So, you know me, I love that part of the chat. I love to go deep, and we definitely did. So I think wherever you're at with your working life, you know, whether you're working, hating it, working, loving it, in work and wanting to not be in work, or not in work and wanting to be in work, or any variation thereof, I think you will get a lot from the episode. They've also just launched an online program that we talk about at the end of the podcast. I've seen it and it's great. And they very, very kindly have given us a discount code. So if you did want to check it out and you think it's going to be helpful for you, then don't forget to use that, because hopefully that will make it cheaper for you, which is always good, isn't it? Anyway, this has been a really long intro, so I will shut up and let you enjoy the episode. Here it is. So this morning I'm here with the Step Up Club ladies, Alice and Fenella. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. I have been Insta-stalking you and I just love what you stand for, and I love how you talk so openly about your career changes. So why don't we start at the start? How did Step Up come about?
I always defer this one over.
Yeah,
to
no, you always say.
Okay, I'll answer it today. So Fenella and I, on the kind of knowing each other side, I'm very, very old friends with Fenella's husband. So we were peripheral friends who kind of met up once a year-ish for brunch. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how we knew each other. So that was in the background. And then we've had very different careers to date. So I was a journalist at the Times and then at Red and Marie Claire. Fenella, what were you?
I was a corporate lawyer, and then I was an equity fund manager at JP Morgan before I re-qualified with a master's in organisational behaviour, career management and counselling, and became an accredited executive coach.
So that's kind of a quick way of saying that we both had changes in our careers. Fenella's happened more to do with family. Well, you kind of were slightly done with law, weren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I had had a few changes. Yeah. So I changed from law. It just wasn't the right career for me. I never really stopped. I had an image of it and it was easy to get into. I thought I was going to be Ally McBeal and it was not like that. So I changed quite early to equity fund management, which was great until I had my son. Mm. And then it just, the way that the markets work,
it's, 5 a.m.
Yeah, it's just really, really difficult to be flexible. And unfortunately, although the hours were much better than corporate law, they're the hours that your child is awake. So it became quite a stark choice for me between a job I did actually enjoy, but never seeing my son, or seeing my son, so I chose to see my son.
And was that quite scary, realising that this career wasn't going to work, or that having to make that choice?
Yeah, it was actually, it was awful. It was really, really difficult because my whole identity was completely centred around essentially my academic achievement. How happy I went to Oxford. You know, everything that I've ever done has been about being high achieving. Mm-hmm. And when I introduce myself to people, the first thing I'd say is, oh yeah, you know, I do European equities at JP Morgan. And everyone would be like, wow, you know, you're really amazing. And in the city, it's a really desirable job.
And now she says she's launched Step Up Club and they go, wow.
Yeah, they go,
wow,
yeah, that's, wow, that's so amazing. You get to work with Alice Olens.
Flawed.
Yeah, it was genuinely really, really difficult because on the one hand, I loved being a mum and I hadn't expected to kind of, I think, love it that much, and I had been expected to go back to work really quickly full time. That was kind of my plan. And then I had my son. I did some exams during early in my maternity and I was like, oh my God, I can't never see him. And I had this really fraught time. I didn't know what to do. I went for other jobs, but you know, this was 10 years ago. There wasn't really flexible working in the city. I mean, in lots of places, but particularly in the city. Everything I was looking at was going to be really overwhelming. So I just had another baby and was off work. And was actually, although happy being a mum, was very unfulfilled and quite unhappy. And remember having these really fraught conversations with my husband saying, you know, you don't understand. Mm. You know, I had been the high achieving one. I had been the higher earning one. And suddenly I was just a mum and I had my kids relatively young. So none of my friends had kids. So it was really, really difficult. And the thing that changed for me was going to see a coach, who I then copied. I became a coach as well.
So my story is totally different to that. So I was extremely happy as a journalist, kind of creatively fulfilled me, and I loved working with the people I work with. I loved seeing my name in the newspaper and just the whole, everything that surrounds it as an industry is just a brilliant. I mean, I was in fashion and it was just glamorous and great fun. And then I went and had my babies and I kind of, well, actually, I listened to your Dear Orla podcast because I also lost a baby. So I had Bear, who I lost, and then I had my girls. And so I was just consumed with motherhood on lots of different fronts. The first thing I said after we lost Bear is, I don't want to go back to work. Like, I'm just not interested. And I kind of felt like that for quite a long time. But then something, obviously, like my girls grew up a little bit and I wanted to do something and I didn't feel fulfilled in just being a mum. And so I tried to freelance. But actually, when you're out of the game for quite a while, even though, and for actually, I kind of email people now with Step Up and they're like, of course I know your byline, you're in the Times for 10 years. But it's hard because the whole industry had changed in the kind of 3-ish years that I was off. There was the rise of digital media. Everyone was a journalist. Everyone was blogging. You know, Instagram was growing. And actually, when I was listening to the Dear Orla podcast, I realised that I wrote a blog in 2010 all about losing a baby and all of that stuff. And it was kind of ahead of the curve of everyone else. And that I was still writing a lot, but in different ways. And that I wanted to get back into actually working and earning a living as well. So I was freelancing, but there wasn't much out there and it wasn't very satisfying. And to be a freelancer, you basically have to be full time chasing your jobs. And so it isn't actually, it sounds like a great flexible option. And it is if you've kind of gone straight out full time work into it, because you've got all those kind of leads that are there. But if you don't, it's quite a lonely place and difficult place to be. So I was on the lookout for something. Fenella and I happened to meet at a couple of drinks parties, and I was talking about my work and women, and I've always been very interested in women and communication and stuff like that. Fenella was doing her corporate coaching, and while you were fulfilled and loved what you were doing, well, both of us realized that we had friends who were asking for kind of career advice, and actually, wouldn't it be nice to kind of take Fenella's knowledge, which at the time was only accessible if you were a high-earning corporate, essentially working for specific banks or law firms, and be able to deliver it to a wider market who maybe weren't in those jobs. So the idea at the beginning was to write the book, which is what we did. We didn't know each other very well, and we decided to write a book together. It's and amazingly,
Alice is a really close old friend of my husband's, but we really didn't know each other.
And I think the trust was my friendship with Richard, which is Fenella's husband. But actually, we didn't know how each other worked.
We didn't actually even know if we would get on.
We didn't know if we'd particularly get on. All I knew was, I mean, we were very cliched at the time. So Fenella was the corporate one and I was the creative one. We've blended to become a kind of step-up entity now. But at the time, it was very like, we had these two roles. And so we decided to write a book, and we just Googled, how do you write a book, and Googled what's in a book proposal. And I, again, had like quite good contacts and agents and around that area. So we were able to get our proposal out to some people. But actually, it was a really organic idea that has grown to actually cannibalize our careers, our individual careers. So I write very little now because I don't have much time, and Fenella's winding up her corporate coaching, and so it's kind of absorbed everything and gives us so much more than our careers gave us before.
And I'm not surprised that it's done, you know, and had the impact that it has, because it feels to me like your experience and mine was exactly the same of, you know, having these corporate, quite inflexible jobs, totally linked to our identities. I really relate to that. And then having, you know, becoming a mum and the game changer that is. And then I remember at the time, you know, looking around for, so what now? Like, how on earth do I navigate being a mum, being a present mum, which is what, you know, we talk about a lot on the podcast, and also fulfilling ourselves. Do you think it's possible? I mean, you guys seem like you're doing it. Do you feel like you're fulfilling that part of you that wants to make a difference in the world, as well as being present, connected mums?
You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, I'm so lucky that we have this kind of quite exciting business that is really growing quite fast, that we make real change for people, and people feed back to us that we're making change to them, which is, I think, the best bit. We always really say, oh, wow, that's really amazing, which is something you get in one-to-one coaching, but you don't really get otherwise. And being able to combine that with working quite flexibly. But it is something that we deliberately create. So, for example, my husband also has his own business. I know your husband has his own business. And my husband's attitude towards his business is quite different to our attitude, I think, in that, you know, he is really good. He does drop-offs. He'll do some pickups. But he will say, oh, you know, I really can't do it. I have to do this meeting. And I'll say, actually, you know, I can't do that meeting because I have to be here. So for us, and that's one of the reasons that our partnership has worked so well, is that we have very similar values around work. We really want to be successful and we really want to create change. But we also have really similar values around family. So we really want to be flexible and we want to be there for our kids and for our, actually we're close to our parents, with our, you know, our friends. So you can't have everything. If what you want is a multi-billion pound floated company and picking up your kids from school every day, no, you can't have that. We don't even pick our kids up from school every day. But if what you want is a successful business and flexibility, I think you can have that. You've just got to be realistic about the sacrifices you've got to make.
I talk about that a lot, and it's a coaching thing as well. It's working out what your values are and then navigating around that. Do you see this a lot with people that come to you with Step Up, or a lot of the mums looking for that new way of working?
I think invariably we attract women who are similar to us because our stories resonate with them as people. Either Fenella's kind of background or my background resonate with them. So I think, yes, we catch women at a crux point in their career, and that is sometimes influenced by motherhood. In fact, we had a really interesting discussion that we is a continuing kind of thread of discussion that we have, which is around us, our profile and motherhood, because we are obviously mums and we're working mums, but we didn't want to be caught in that kind of just working mums bubble, because we feel that what we have can be accessible and useful and meaningful for other women as well. So we've had moments where we're like, you know what, actually, let's just only talk to mums, because actually what we talk about, what we do, is so powerful to them. And then we have other times like, no, we can't do that. We also need to talk about other people, talk to other people as well. So when you were just out there fiddling around, I said to Fernando, it would actually be quite nice to just talk about, not just talk about being working mums, but we actually have been quite cautious about it, because what we found, especially on our Instagram page, less so now, but definitely at the beginning, was that when we were working out what worked and what people liked, well, if we posted about our kids, we lost hundreds of followers, even though the majority of our followers are mums.
Interesting. Why do you think that was?
I don't know if it's the way that we talked about it. I don't know if we were too frivolous.
I think we lost followers who were not mothers. And even now, if I've done recently some stories about, you know, working motherhood and balance, and we've had some negative comments saying, you know, I find it really hurtful that you would talk about this because I don't have children, for example, which is really difficult for that person, and we understand, but it's also a huge part of our lives. So it is really difficult.
Yeah, it is difficult. And I think when we've been thinking about what we can offer, and especially, so we wrote the book and then it evolved into events, because we had people asking us to work with them and to speak on panels. So part of our business became running events and being at events. And what happened was that we had women who came to the same events, and they actually asked us for something more sustained and more evolutionary that they could buy into, that would be more solid than just coming to one event. And so that's how we developed, or why we developed, the Step Up School, which is our in-person course. And what we found is that I would say the majority of those women are mums.
Yeah, at least 80%.
Yeah, 80% probably are mums. And it was only while we've been thinking about our profile and our kind of customers, or the women who we really speak to, we realise it isn't only mums, but it's people at that crux point that we talked about. And it can be lots of different triggers. So it can be what Fernanda said earlier, was that she went into law because... she wasn't forced into law, but it was a natural progression from everything that she'd done to that point, and her parents wanted her to do it. But then she kind of looked up at several years later and thought, well, this isn't fulfilling me. I don't want to be in this job. A lot of women that come to us go through that process as well. So they're like, I'm actually quite successful, but I don't feel very successful. So that's another trigger for that kind of crossroads in your career. And so rather than talking about just working mums, we talk about change.
I think that's what I was thinking as he was talking. I was like, actually, those triggers can come from any number that are external. I think my personal journey, motherhood was definitely the biggest one. I think it's a really natural reevaluation point, motherhood, which is where Motherkind came from. But equally, I can see how actually there can be other big external trigger points. And you've guys been talking a bit about AI, haven't you? Which again, to me, would be another big external trigger point. I think when people realise the change that that might bring...
Definitely. So
I think that's really interesting. So if there's a mum listening who is, you know, nodding along and thinking, yeah, I'm in a career that doesn't work, or I'm not in a career and I want to be in one, what type of advice and what's the process that you take people through to help them work out what the hell they do want to do that's going to work with being a mum?
So having been in that position myself, and also having worked with hundreds of women in that position, I think it's a really, really difficult place to get out of, because there's a lot of fear. We find that there is a huge underconfidence, and the longer you're either in a career which doesn't fulfill you, thinking about trying to leave, or actually out of work is a big one. You know, even on a year's maternity leave, women's confidence massively suffers.
So why do you think that is?
I think it's because we feel, number one, I think that motherhood as a job is not valued. And so we feel that what we're doing when we're mothering is not a valuable contribution to anyone other than our own children, which actually just isn't true. I think that the world of work is very masculine, very masculine. And so when you're out in this kind of more female space, it still is a more female space, and you're mothering and you're with other mums and you're with your kids, and then you go back into this masculine world, that's a real difference. Even if you go in female workplaces, in the majority of workplaces, we're still set up in a kind of more corporate masculine structure. So even, for example, in magazines, you might have the journalists, it might be mostly female, for example, in a women's magazine, but the senior management is mostly male.
And also the structure is the same structure as any other corporate job. So it's an expectation that you will work from 9 till 6 and you'll be able to travel at a moment's notice to cover a story. And those are the... that's how society does mothers a disservice, because it's inflexible and it's kind of very the way it's structured.
Yeah, and the structure of progression, right, as well. So there's this idea that you have this linear career path. And actually, we know that most women don't, lots of women don't have a linear career path. And therefore, if you're kind of on-ramping, off-ramping, you're suddenly out of sync with traditional career structures. And that's frightening. And it makes you feel that there's something wrong with you. But there's not, there's probably something wrong with the structure. But you feel that way.
I think also, sorry to interrupt, but I think the confidence is linked to, obviously, it's just the single act of just not being in the workplace. So you always fear something, the unknown, so you don't know what's going on there, so you feel detached, so it affects your confidence. But also you become, like what Fernanda was saying earlier about identity, so there's this whole identity change that we have to process when we're feeling extremely vulnerable as women anyway, you know, having given birth, being full of hormones, not knowing what the hell you're doing, having dependents suddenly, you know, all those elements and factors that people without children, including men, can't possibly ever understand. And then there is, sadly, a kind of negativity around motherhood. And we did an event once which we called Being a Mum Makes You Awesome, because there's just this assumption that when you're a mum, you're just not as good as someone who isn't a mum. And actually, what we always say is that there is so much that you learn about yourself, about leadership, about organisation. There's so much you learn being a mum. But for some reason, those skills, we don't draw on those skills as part of our career arsenal. We kind of try to hide them away. And the fact that we've, you know, done 10 things before we've even got to the office is seen as a negative.
They're not valued in the office.
Yeah, they're not valued. And so what we try and do is remind women that actually all those things make you better at your job. Mm. And the fact that you have got up and done 10 things before you've arrived at your desk is a huge achievement. It's not something to be hidden, which I think a lot of women feel that they need to, that they need to live this double life, which is obviously destabilizing. And I think that then feeds into a lack of confidence.
Yeah. So what we would say is the first thing is to really start working, number one, on your confidence. And the second thing, actually the confidence is probably the second thing, the first thing would be actually really think about what you want. Because that's what, as Alice was saying before, you know, people get become successful. You know, I was doing quite well in the city. And then I looked around and I was like, actually, this is not fulfilling. This is not my definition of success. This is not my purpose at all. And I think you have to reevaluate that and be honest with yourself. Not, oh, that person's really successful, I'm going to be like them. Or that mum is doing that. That mum is staying at home full time, therefore she's a better mum than me. Or that mum is working 5 days a week and she's a massive CEO, she's doing better. No, what is actually the success for me? And you do that and then you build up your confidence. And that's essentially the foundation of all the work that we do with women.
And I think that's so important. And it does take, I think in my experience, like some external trigger or support to do that sometimes. Because it can be quite hard to sit down on your own and think, right, what do I want, without getting trapped in, as you say, fear is such a big one, especially as a lot of the mums that I work with will have had those underlying fears or anxieties even through their hugely sometimes...
Well, we all do, don't we?
Exactly. So then I think then that year or two or have three, however many at home, I can see how that can grow.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why I love the work that you guys do so much, because it gives that almost that focus on self and letting go of the comparisons, you're saying, what everyone else is doing and actually what's right.
We definitely start with the individual and then we grow that once. So through Step Up School, once we've kind of helped them reevaluate their definition of success, which is paramount to feeling successful. Mm. We then, as Fernanda said, work on their confidence, and then it kind of broadens out more into career, more traditional career skills, career development skills like networking and mentoring. I think it's also to do with our partnership. There is a more emotional, empathetic side. So there's Fernanda's very kind of research-based advice and then couched in more kind of emotional support as women, and just the art of bringing women together as 30 women together in a room. Like you said, like we never gift ourselves that time to sit down and assess. And what we realized with Step Up School and now hopefully with our new online courses, that we are just simply giving women a space where they can turn their phone off and just focus on themselves. Because often they say, you know, what are we going to do without Step Up School? I just never give myself these hours to think about myself, or even just 10 minutes a day is enough. But that single art of focusing on yourself, and whichever way you take that in, is incredibly powerful. And we just get caught in these constant hamster wheels.
There's so much to be doing, isn't there? I think, you know, I teach the same when I'm coaching, is just taking 10 minutes every day. And I teach people that work with me how to journal every day for 10 minutes. Just from that single thing, the transformations that I've seen have been amazing. Because without being sort of invited to do it, or to know that it's okay to do it. I think that's the other thing, is the guilt of what we should be doing. Do you experience guilt, mum guilt, when you're sort of working? And
yesterday, Fenella's parents-in-law put her kids to bed. Did they actually put them to bed in the end?
Yeah.
Oh, you came home?
No, I didn't come home. Okay, so I didn't come home.
So we were sitting in the office yesterday and Fenella said, I'm not going to go home because my parents-in-law are putting the kids to bed, and if we're all there, it'll just be too annoying. And I said, well, what are you going to do? And she said, I'm going to go and get my nails done. Did you?
Yeah.
And well then done. She said, but mainly, I'm just going to be feeling guilty.
I actually didn't. I spent a long time feeling guilty. I felt guilty about not going back to work when I didn't go back to work because I was like I've done a lot of education.
Yes,
I was wasting my education and like, you know, disappointing people and not contributing financially. So I felt guilty about that. Then I had kids and then I felt guilty about wanting to work. And I wasn't working. And I had a second kid and I felt guilty that I was maybe neglecting the first one and that I wasn't giving the second one the same, you know. I mean, guilt is just it's a female story, isn't it?
I don't have guilt so much. I really don't have guilt. I have guilt, like just on a day if I don't pick them up from school, I sometimes feel a bit guilty. But I don't know if it's because of what I went through and then I had this pure focus on motherhood for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years where I just was solely focused on being a mum and just either grieving as a mum who had lost a child or just blissful as a mum who suddenly had children. I had no guilt. It's almost like there are some good things that come out of terrible loss. And one of them was this amazing kind of focus I had. And I remember I filled in this questionnaire once. I went to this stupid mothering club and they rated you on how good a mum you are. I gave myself 10 out of 10 on everything.
They rated you?
Yeah, well, you had to do it yourself. It was really weird. But I gave myself 10 out of 10 because I truly believed that I was giving my all. And so I think with that foundation, I've been able to slowly, because I didn't jump back into work, I've been slowly able to build it up, and I think it's helped me not feel guilty because I think I gave them so bloody much of myself and I still give them so much that when I'm not there, they get enough.
Yeah. I think most women I work with do feel guilty. I think it's more common to feel I think it's more common to feel guilty than not feel guilty. So I think if you don't, I think that's an amazing thing. It's such a powerful thing. But I think more people do. The way that I went back to work, I went to see this coach. I was like, I have to work because I'm actually going to be miserable if I come and stay at home. I can remember frantically googling research about, you know, what's the impact on children of working mums and like how many hours a week. Great outcome.
It's positive.
It's totally positive. But I remember doing that thinking, oh my goodness, I'm going to go and do this master's and this is so bad, because I started it when my second was 8 months old, and when my first was 8 months old I was obviously still on maternity leave, so I was like, oh, you know, this is terrible. And I remember I started this master's and we did a lot of kind of counselling, coaching, training. I was the youngest person on the course, and there were other mothers, they were much older, with older children. And there was one particularly who hadn't worked for like 13 years, and she was going back to try to do this, and her confidence was very low. And we were doing this counselling thing, and you had to counsel each other, and everybody else would watch and give comments. Mm. It's very powerful. I would be very emotional. There was always a lot of tears. And I talked about that the issue, you had to bring an issue, and my issue was I feel so guilty. I got offered a coaching job 3 days a week and to do alongside the masters. And I really wanted to do it. It's very rare to get offered a coaching job and it helps you build your hours. It's an amazing thing. And I can remember if I do this coaching job, then I'm basically going to ruin my child. You know, I felt so guilty that I was like, I can't do it because it's going to like destroy my, even though I could see really people who were great mums who worked more than that for me personally. I was like, no, it's too, I can't do it. And then this woman said, I think you need permission to do it. And so I'm going to give you the permission to go. I feel quite emotional talking about this. I'm going to give you the permission to go back to work because I'm telling you now that you feel the need to work and therefore you should work and you will not damage your children. And I've done the opposite and it's not been a positive thing for me because it wasn't exactly what I wanted to do. I did it through a kind of guilt, essentially. And so she basically gave me permission. I accepted the job the next day. Yeah.
That's interesting. That makes me think my mum didn't go back to work after having children. And now I've seen it as a massive negative for her and our family. And I think that is one of the reasons why I feel like I never want to end up in that position. I don't want my children to have that relationship that I have with my mum, because I just think the root of it is her lack of fulfillment and her lack of confidence, which has just nosedived as we've grown up.
It's the same for
and
me.
I just I really that's one of my biggest drivers, is to stay working for that sole reason. That I just have to, I suppose, as a person, like, I'm not selfish, but I have a sense of self. That sense of self has to be fed by something that isn't my children. And then when I get home and I see them, I just feel warm fuzzies because I've already fulfilled that part of me.
But I think what our children, you know, and I obviously think a lot about this, is I think what our children need is mums that are fulfilled and are lit up inside.
Totally.
Because I had the same experience with my mum. She was the higher earner before children. I think she decided not to go back to work, but I picked up on the energy of her sort of lack of fulfillment and probably resentment, if I'm really honest. And then when we left for uni, I remember her saying to me, it's my time now. And I remember thinking, it's always been you. I never asked you to put your life on hold. That guilt that I then felt, actually, and I feel quite emotional talking about this, you know, I felt guilty that she'd stopped her life for me. I never asked her to do that. In fact, I wanted her to be
funny, because I actually have guilt around my mum, and I don't have guilt around my children.
So
I don't feel guilt like you. I don't, because she's never vocalised it, because she finds it very difficult to vocalise things. So she's never vocalised it like, it's my time. But I feel guilty that I don't think I've sapped her, but I'm just so much more, I just have the skills to be able to fulfil myself.
Yeah.
And she doesn't have the skills to be able, because mainly because of when she's the product of her generation, I suppose, a bit more, and she wasn't able to do anything for lots of different reasons. So I have more guilt about that relationship than I do with my children, because I feel like I'm being a good role model for them. And they need to see that, especially I've got two daughters, you know, they need to see that. But we were talking about money, actually, because we talk about money. We don't just generally sit around talking about money. We ran a session on money and women and money, which is a really interesting subject.
Yeah.
It's made me really conscious around talking about money with my girls, which I think is really important as well.
Yeah.
And really enabling for them to not shy away from talking about money.
I totally agree.
But what I realised was that it's very easy to talk about money in a negative way. So we were talking about swimming lessons, and my daughter wants to go every day. And I'm like, well, you know, we can't afford to send you to swimming lessons every day. That's just not going to happen. Mummy, daddy work very hard. And da, 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 da. And then I kind of thought, well, I don't want to only say we can't afford to do things, because we can afford to do lots of amazing things. And when you do amazing things, you don't say, I work really hard and look what we're doing.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about how to balance that conversation so that they know that there's only a limit to the amount of things that we can do, but actually we do so many amazing things and they're incredibly lucky, and I just still haven't found the words to that part, but I am working on it.
It's a really interesting conversation as well, isn't it, around, you know, money and career. And I feel like, you know, actually my career gives me so much more than money that enables me, but also I'm proud that Jessie sees me making a difference like you guys are, you know, being fulfilled by what we're doing. I think I'd feel differently if I was still in my corporate life, sort of trudging in on the Northern Line every morning, hating it.
So I think I would, like Fenella was saying earlier, we have complete control of our time. Unless something comes up that's like one in a million, where we have to be at a meeting at a certain time and we have to put everything else has to be managed on the family front. We have control of our time. And actually, this time last year, I was at Red 2 days a week and we were doing Step Up. Fenella was doing her coaching stuff. And I found it really, really stressful that there was somebody else owned my time. So I can imagine. So I think we're not lucky, because we have worked to be able to we've worked, but we, as Fenella said, we're conscious that our time is incredibly precious and we're very respectful of each other's time. So if Fenella has to go and do something, sports day, whatever it is, obviously we're in that season where there's about a trillion things we have to be at school for, you know, we have each other's backs and we, no one else controls what we do, and I think that's incredibly freeing.
And we do also miss things.
Yeah, we
you
do
missed
miss
something
them.
Yesterday I missed something last Thursday.
I didn't really mind missing the teddy bears picnic,
but we miss it. I miss like the sports viewing last, not sports day, the sports viewing, the pre-sports
sports
day sports viewing, viewing.
See,
it's viewing
school,
the sports,
I don't know what
it's viewing the sports before this. I mean,
oh, that's ridiculous.
Anyway, so but I missed it, and you missed it, and I think we didn't feel guilty because it's our conscious choice to miss those things, because we know we're busy, we're doing our full day, and we're choosing to go to certain things, or my husband's going to something. I think because we're making the choice, it
that's
makes
a very
it
different energy than a boss telling you you can't.
Exactly. Really, and I find that very, very stressful, because then there's no guess how, and I want to be able to do
so. Is a lot of what you do help people start working for themselves? Or do you sometimes help people start to create more flexibility around a more traditional
both.
9-to-5?
Both. So as an example, in Step Up School at the moment, we've had actually quite a lot of people make change, but I'm thinking particularly of two people. So we had one person who's in really a big job. And she was thinking, well, she started Step Up School thinking, you know, I'm probably going to not do this big job because I've had children and everything. And I just don't know what to do. And actually what we've done is we've kind of worked with her on that. And she's now negotiated to go down to, I think she's doing three days a week and then take on one side project and then be with her kids two afternoons a week. So for her, she's kind of developed the confidence and the language to actually ask for what she wants, and she's got it. Another woman specifically, actually quite a lot of people have had this, but another person has actually taken, I think, the really difficult decision to leave a very high paying job.
A few of them definitely left jobs during Step Up School.
Yeah, some to go and do freelance, some to go and do another job, and some to set up businesses. But those people who've left to set up businesses were people who always wanted to do that. They just basically probably didn't have the confidence to do that. So we're certainly not advocating that everybody works for themselves. It's not something that everybody would enjoy, and absolutely definitely wouldn't. But we do advocate, not just women, I mean anybody, doing the thing that fulfills them. And for some people that is just absolutely beasting themselves and working all the time and outsourcing childcare, and for some people it's finding flexibility, and it just depends who you are.
I think that's really interesting. And with the people, just something I want to pick up on that you talked about before that I think I hear a lot is this shift between getting our validation externally from those big jobs. And I definitely did, you know, I worked at BMW for years and that was the first thing I would tell people about myself. And then starting to get that validation internally and the different choices that that can give us. Do you see people making that shift through working with you and Step Up? And what sort of changes does that bring? That's quite a big question.
A big
Sorry,
question,
I'm very,
Zoe.
Very interested in it. That's why I'm asking you.
I think it is natural and easy and a product of youth to draw our validation from external sources. When we started and we wrote the book, we kind of said, oh, we're for everyone. You know, literally you could catch us at 18 and at 60 and you'd be, what we say would be relevant. And actually that is true. But our passion is for women at that crux point when I think the change is actually that is, I think you've almost hit the nail on the head. So I think the change is taking control of your validation and accepting or being able to have that from the inside out, and for however that works for you as a person. So whether that is just for some people who are employed, it's almost just accepting that this is the right choice for me. I'm going to make some changes in terms of my flexibility, but I am in control of that situation. And for other people, it's complete career change.
Yeah, they almost wake up.
Yeah, but I think that it really is a big part of what we do. I think we do a lot of internal work, and especially like the confidence session that we run as part of Step Up School is always a hugely emotive one, because we ask people to look inside themselves and invariably look at their vulnerabilities, accept their vulnerabilities, talk about their vulnerabilities. But it's only that type of talking and openness that you can see that we're all, you know, we're all in the same boat. And
there's so much power in that shared experience.
It is, and the shared experience, I think, is incredibly powerful. Fernanda's looking at me like she's got something good to say.
No, I'm agreeing. I think the biggest mistake that we make when we're young, and that some people continue to make if they don't wake up or don't receive support to feel differently, is that we compare what's going on inside us to what's going on outside of somebody else.
I was
going to
say that.
So the first thing we do when we're talking about confidence is in fact, I think we talk about it in the first session when we're talking about successes. You know, never do that. Never compare her outside to your inside, because you're, you know, everybody's inside is this kind of fluid, messy place with all different things going on, and a lot of people have a very polished outside.
It's so easy to do that.
It doesn't reflect what's going on inside at all, and that is the trap that we all fall into. When I was having my nails done last night, I said something very interesting, because there was it must have been an audition for child actors or models going on in the building opposite. I was in the West End. It was like, so there were all these parents with these girls with these like styled hair and like dresses and like bows. Okay. And then I was thinking, my daughter would never let me dress her up like that. And then there was one mum came outside and she had exactly what I have. So she had two older boys and a little, like this beautiful, amazing looking girl. And she was obviously really stressed because she didn't know where she was going, and she was looking on her phone, and she was holding this girl's hand, and the two boys were being really naughty, and I was thinking, that's exactly me. And then one of the boys sort of pushed the little girl, and she like pushed the boy out of the way and shouted, and I thought, oh my God, you know, and shouted at him. Then he was crying, and then she crossed the road. It was like this total disaster. Shame. It was awful. And I was watching it and I was thinking, oh my God, that's so terrible. That's, you know, that's so terrible. And then I was thinking, and I feel, actually, I also feel really sorry for her, because lots of us, I mean, I don't push my kids, obviously, but lots of us have moments which are not moments that are not exactly how we want things to be. So I definitely have moments, for example, with my children, where I don't lose my temper, but I don't maybe behave in the way that I want to behave, like exactly a situation
you
like that.
You are human, I definitely lose my temper. Yeah.
And I have moments like that, and I thought, I was thinking about this woman in the street, and I was thinking, you know, she's probably really embarrassed. I mean, I was watching her and she saw me see the whole thing.
Yeah.
And she must have felt, well, I hope she felt quite bad in a way. But then I was thinking, you know, that happens to me all the time, right? I do things and I think, oh gosh, you know, that didn't look very good, or that wasn't a good way for me to behave. Other people don't do that. And actually, of course, everybody does it. You just don't see it. Everybody loses it with their kids once in a while. And I even remember my son saying to me a couple of years ago, I've now disabused him of this idea, but he said, you know, I really wish that I was like my friend Sebastian, and it makes me really sad that I'm not, because Sebastian is good all the time and he's never naughty, and I'm really naughty. And then we were with the other mum and Sebastian, and I said to the mum, you know, Noah thinks that Sebastian is never naughty, and she was like, Noah, Sebastian is naughty all the time. He's just only naughty at home, so you don't see it. And it's that kind of idea that we all have this kind of messiness and mistakes that we make and failures that we have, and but we don't talk about it all the time and we don't show it, you know.
We don't take our masks off very often.
Yeah, no. exactly.
I think that's what's so powerful about coaching in the way that you do, and I guess in part of the way that I do, is enabling people to take those masks off and see the realness and the imperfection and know the humanity in us all, and actually we're all got the same struggles.
Totally. And it's so liberating to see other people's failings or their weaknesses and their vulnerabilities. And I think the group on, like, our Step Up School groups are really tight.
That's the power of the group.
And vulnerability connects in a way. It's like Brené Brown's and all her work. Vulnerability is the only way actually to connect. You can't connect through perfection.
No.
So yeah, it's fascinating. So I think some people might look at you two, what you've done and how well you're doing, and think that you have these sort of...
Well, people do say that. No, people say that to us based on our Instagram account. So we have
your Instagram is on point. Let's
be honest. Yeah, but we get
we don't feel like that,
because people say it's too polished, it's too shiny, it's too
fashion-y.
But then we do like a real picture,
and then we lose loads of followers.
Well, the less times you can't please anyone,
a rock and a hard place. So now we just figure we may as well make it look nice, because at least it's pleasing on the eye as much as possible.
Yeah, no, we're really open. I think that we're certainly in no way perfect.
What are you working on internally? Are there things that you want to cultivate more of in yourselves, or let go of, things that are working or not working?
Actually, so we didn't talk about this
go
at
on.
All.
What are you going to say?
We didn't talk about this. We had this crazy end of the year last year where we were working on this Karen Millen campaign and we were doing loads of events. I mean, it was awful. We were doing the Karen Millen campaign was amazing, but we did, how many events did we do?
We
were
like 8 or 11.
No, we did,
I think
11
right?
events. I mean, I think we did,
I
we
was
were doing two
watching
or,
your Instagram.
Yeah, we were doing two or three events a week, evening events a week. Plus we were working really hard and we were just kind of quite burnt out. Alice went to Australia for a family wedding. I was here. And we both, obviously, we didn't really do anything for a few weeks. And then we came back together and we saw each other and we were like, ugh. And we had both come to exactly the same realization without speaking to each other at all. And the thing that we really wanted to work on was inner peace. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but being peaceful. And we wanted to have 2018 as a year where we were much more peaceful, where we said no to things a lot more, where we took more time for ourselves and things were just less frantic. And so the first thing that we did is we decided to stop doing evening events unless they were really meaningful things that we wanted to do.
We actually haven't done any
and
evening events.
We don't do our own evening events. No. So we don't do any of our own...
Mm. I feel like we haven't done any evening events at all. We've been to
dinners,
but we haven't actually spoken.
We haven't spoken, that's right. We've got our first one in June.
Yeah.
And interestingly, so we're much less frantic. We've said no to quite a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, obviously, we've done much better as a result. We've grown much faster.
It's always the way, isn't it?
And we're much happier. Yeah. I think we're continuing to work on that, aren't we? And the other thing we're working on is congratulating ourselves when something's gone well. It's much easier to do when there's two of you because one of you will kind of have that realization. So you can always find a negative in everything. But really, so if we're in a step-up school and somebody comes up to us and says, oh, I had a light bulb moment, you know, we'll make sure that we talk about that afterwards and how amazing that was.
Yesterday we were working and Fenella went and got lunch and she came back and she chucked a load of vouchers on the table and she goes, free G&Ts if we fancy it later around the corner. And I was like, could do. We didn't, but we have saved them.
Yeah, we've saved them.
They're good till the end of June.
Maybe tonight.
Yeah. Well, no, we're not in town today, but yeah, one day we'll go and celebrate with the G&T. And also something Fenella always says, which is really good, and it's a really good line in the sand, is this fun? Mm-hmm. Is this fun? Because what we're doing right now does not what we're doing right now, because obviously this is really fun. But sometimes we're working on something and we're busting our guts for, I don't know, maybe a client or some brand. And we look at each other and we're like, this is not fun. We're selling our soul. We don't feel authentic in what we're doing. The whole reason we did this, as much for ourselves as for what we do for other people. And we're not getting anything from this. So we have started saying no to things, which does feel scary, but actually gives you more control and more power and more choice. And the more you say no, the more people want.
And I think that's exactly my definition of success is fun. Am I having fun? Because I used to define it as how much money do I earn? What's my job title? And I was having zero fun, like hell. And now I'm like, if I'm not having fun, I feel unsuccessful. Because actually I make hard choices to do what I do. And yeah, and I think it's a great barometer. And I think with that comes an energy that people resonate with. And I think that's maybe why you've grown quicker when you've
maybe
focused, because people pick up on the energy that before you even say a word, a frantic energy and all, you know.
Yeah, we definitely weren't giving off a calm energy at the end of last year. You're like, we'll see people like when we saw friends or when I saw friends, I'm sure it was the same Fenella, around that time they were like, oh my god, you're so busy, it's awful. And I'm like, yeah, it is actually really, really bad, it's not that fun, I can't wait to go away. Whereas now people will say to me, like one of my neighbors always says to me, you're so busy, and I'm like, I'm not. I'm trying really hard to not be busy. I know I look busy, but I don't feel busy. And I slightly resent it.
We've stopped working in the evenings.
Yeah, I just resent people looking at us thinking we're busy. We're just very public. We're not very public, but we're much more public because of our Instagram, because of everything we do. Everyone knows what we do. And lots of people do things, but we're consciously not crazy busy. And I just always want to reiterate that with people. Like, I'm just happily fulfilled. I'm not crazy busy. We spend a lot of time putting things on Instagram, so we look really busy, but that is our main thing
it's
that
part
we do.
Of it, yeah. And I think that's such an important shift of taking away this badge of honor of being busy. You know, I actually sort of say to people, I'd be like, how are you? And I'd be like, all right, things are a bit slow. And I feel really good saying that. Whereas corporate life, my god, I never would have said that. I would have been like, busy, loads on, you know, busy. So I think that's really powerful as well, is celebrating the slowness in the space. And you know, and I think we're like the seasons, aren't we? You can't expect ourselves to be on all the time.
No, we're planning a planning season in the autumn. We planned a planning season in the winter, didn't we? Our January, February was just planning, and we sat.
It was really
nice.
And
it was really, really nice.
I'm really into
and
the, sort of
and
the
we're
cyclical
now,
nature, especially
and
women.
And we've built on what we did. And so we are much more focused on our work and creating and producing content and our courses, not just flying around doing meetings with people. And it was such a solid start to that. And so I think twice a year we're going to have a few months of planning and then be able to build on those plans.
I love that. I'm going to copy that one. So how does someone work with you? We've talked a bit about the Step Up School online. How does someone access that? How long is it? Can you just tell us a bit about it?
Sure. So Step Up School Online is the online version of our sellout Step Up School Inner Circle, which is a personal career business development course, which takes you through the whole system that we've been talking about, I suppose, through the whole podcast, defining your success, understanding your purpose, building your confidence, developing your personal brand, your business brand, and then going through kind of later stages of network, mentorship, sponsorship, and then visioning your future. It's equally applicable to entrepreneurs, to employees, to returners, and we've had really amazing outcomes from women on the course so far in all those different spheres and in all different industries, including we've had people get major VC investment, we've had people get on non-executive boards, we've had people get on parliamentary steering committees.
We've also had people coming back from work, coming back to work, who have been out. We've got mums on the course currently who aren't working, who want to help make that leap back
into
the work.
They
feel more confident.
Definitely.
So it's online. How many weeks does it run for?
So at the moment it's in person. We're running it in person, and we've literally just launched the online course, which starts on the 18th of June. And everyone who joins starts on the same date. So spaces are open now to get your space. And you can find it. You'll have show notes, won't you?
Yep.
Yep. So we'll put the link in the show notes with a special offer.
Yeah, so the idea is to replicate as closely as possible the Inner Circle experience, but with the added benefit that you can do it wherever you want. It's really flexible, which is obviously amazing for mums. Everything is recorded as a podcast. There are some small videos. There are everything is also in PDF form, so you can read it or listen to it, whatever you prefer. Or both, if you really want to hammer things home. There are loads and loads of worksheets. It's really interactive. But because we want to replicate the Inner Circle experience, you also get a lot of contact with us. So there's an online forum for everybody in Step Up School.
So you still get that connection.
Yeah,
base. That's
exactly.
Really important, I think, isn't it?
Exactly. So that we're in there at least twice a week, if not, we're often in there every day, but at least twice a week, answering any questions, starting discussions, joining in discussions. There are coaching calls with us, group coaching calls with us to keep you on track through the course. There is a kind of to replicate the group work that we do in Inner Circle. And we have Step Up School Circles, which are hangouts where you're split into groups of 10 other Step Up Schoolers, and you can do your group work online in that hangout. So the idea is it's really kind of collaborative and interactive, and it's not something that we're just going to give to you and leave you alone to do it. We're really going to
help you.
You
still feel really held and supported.
Yeah. Yeah.
How much time does someone need to do it if they're like a busy stay-at-home mum?
So we've broken it down to two kind of different time frames. So either about 10 minutes a day. We were talking about 10 minutes a day
earlier.
It's
quite doable.
It's part of the structure of our book is driving change in 10 minutes a day. But you might want to have more cumulative time. So it might be that you spend an hour on the weekend doing it or two half an hour slots. Mm-hmm. It is a really manageable amount of time because we've signed up to courses that we just haven't done. And we know that there's no value in that. So it's very accessible. And as Fenella said, you can do a lot of the listening on the runs. So you can do it, you know, if you're exercising or if you're on the school run. That's why we have recorded everything as podcasts as well.
Such a good idea.
And then there are worksheets. So what we're assuming people will do, will listen on the go and then maybe spend a bit more time sitting at their computer or at their desk working through the worksheet. So it isn't a huge commitment, but we know that just carving out that amount of time each day or each week will help drive change. Because it's going back to that thing of just, we don't give ourselves any time to do it. So if we can help structure that time, which we do very clearly, and we talk through that, there's a whole section about how to learn at the very beginning as well, so we really help people to know how to use the course most effectively for them as well, which we thought was important,
digging into what type of a learner they are.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
We've got a whole section on types of learning or how you learn as a person, and also how to use your time, how to use it most effectively for you, who you are in your life.
And is there anything else that you want people to know about it?
It's amazing.
Well, I will put the link in the show notes and on my website. And then, if there's some incentive.
Totally.
That'd be brilliant. So we're coming to the end, and I always ask the same question at the end of every interview. So maybe you could each answer separately or you could answer together, which is, if you could give all the mums out there in the whole world just one thing, what would you give them and why?
I would give them a piece of advice, which is that your career is long. So don't panic wherever you are now. We're all going to be working for a really long time. We're all going to be hopefully alive for a long time. And you can have a really successful career no matter what your current situation. My mother-in-law is this amazing woman who I really look up to. She's got four children and a massive job. A massive transatlantic job, really huge. My father-in-law is just works 3 days a week, but he's just about to retire. But she's always had the kind of bigger corporate job, but not always, because when her kids were young, she actually didn't. She had times where she didn't work. She had times where she freelanced. She had times where she had her own business. She had times where she then decided that she would on-ramp again and do a big job again. And she is now in her 60s and she is flying all around the world doing this huge thing and loving it because all her kids are growing up. And so I think there are lots and lots of people who don't talk about it, but who've had fallow periods and busy periods in the year. It's a bit like seasons, but seasons stretching over your career. So just remember, if you're panicking, that your career is long and you've got time to take it wherever you want.
Mine would be to have the strength to just celebrate who you are. Because I think we compare, as we were saying before, like comparing ourselves to other people, trying to achieve what other people have achieved, just not focusing on who you are. And we often spend time just reminding people, like, each of you is amazing and brilliant, and each of you has got imperfections and shortcomings, but as a package, there's no one else like you. And I heard a brilliant quote recently, which is, the room is always better when you arrive because you weren't there before, and whoever you are, you bring something new. And I think a lot of women, especially mothers, forget that they are unique and brilliant. So it's, yeah, to have that strength.
Oh, what a wonderful note to end on. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Zoe.
So that's it. Thank you for listening to the episode. I hope you really enjoyed it. And if you did, please do leave a review on iTunes. It does make a massive difference to the number of mums that we can reach with this content. If you were listening to that episode thinking about one of your friends that they might benefit from what we were chatting about, then just tag them in on Instagram. My bio will include the link to the podcast so they can find it really easily from there. People often tell me they're desperate to share it with their friends. So if that's you, then please do. I feel like the guests that we have on the podcast, their wisdom just deserves to be heard far and wide. So help me make that happen. I'd be very grateful. And also, if you want to send me any comments or thoughts about the episode, then please pop over onto Instagram at motherkind_Zoe. And also, just to let you know about my coaching. So I do work one-on-one with mums on my program, which is a three-month program called Reconnect to You. So if you want to work with me on taking your power back in any area of your life, then please do get in touch. Just drop me an email, zoe@motherkind.co, or look on the website, www.motherkind.co. That's it, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Take care.